Sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing very well. Very well. Springtime is here.
Springtime's here, which means March Madness.
Yeah, of course. Are they down to the Sweet 16 yet?
Pardon me?
Are they down to the Sweet 16
yet? They are down to the Sweet 16.
Excellent. That's when it gets really
interesting.
Of course,
Illinois lost the first game, as you kind of predicted.
I know.
Western Michigan. That guard they have is really tough.
Oh, sure, sure.
Was it Mendez Valdez or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Don't want to
but he's
name up,
shooting three-pointers from, like, past pro range.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, not much.
He's ready for the pros. He's still playing college, so.
Yep. So, well, there's still two Big Ten teams are still in the race, I believe. Purdue and Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's fun. All right, let us move on. I see President Obama made the... He's doing the talk show circuit now, like with Jay Leno.
I thought he did a good job as an entertainer. I don't know about a president.
I didn't catch the thing. I only catch the excerpts. And, of course, the excerpt I caught was his reference to actually if his bowling is like the Special Olympics, I'm trying to think of what mine would be.
Oh, no.
He shot a 129, and I've done worse than that sometimes.
Yeah, he shouldn't have said either.
You know, I don't think that's a big deal myself, but. You think if George W. Bush had made a comment like that?
Well, he made the comment about broccoli, did he not? And he had the broccoli farmers all up in arms, and he had to retract his statement and say, okay, broccoli's okay.
that's true.
You know, as a person, but, you're allowed to not like broccoli, but I guess as president, you're not allowed to say you don't like broccoli. I wasn't offended by it either, but I can see how people
Obama's getting pretty much a pass on this, which I think he should, but I just – and I'm not a Republican, but – I think there is a double standard here.
Sure. Sure.
So, okay. Moving on to the stupid and or outrageous regulation. Most of our regulations are more outrageous than stupid, actually.
Okay.
There's some stupid ones. This is an outrageous one. Well, as you know, we had a housing bubble. It's collapsed. You know, we have a collapsing housing market, and people are scrambling just to be able to pay their mortgages. And so, you know, some people can't sell their houses and, you know, and they try to rent, you know, it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Mentality, of course, is ever apparent, especially in Carpentersville. So in order to help out their fellow citizens and trying to, you know, keep the money flowing and pay their mortgages and such. What does Carpentersville do? Well, they did this before the crisis, but they haven't rescinded it. Excuse me. If you want to rent your house, Mike, you can't just put a sign out and say for rent. Put an ad in the paper for rent.
Really?
Not in Police State Carpentersville.
Why?
You have to pay a $500 fee and go to a class.
A real estate class?
I don't know what kind of class. Some kind of renter's class.
Property management class?
Class. Probably saying that you must have sprinklers here, and okay. I don't know.
Wonderful.
And you can only have so many people per room or something. I don't know. Some regulatory class. Something that teaches people how they must follow the rules and regulations of free America in Carpentersville.
You will not make money without giving us some.
And make money, just trying to maintain.
Right, right.
And it's astounding to me, folks. People, I mean, I know somebody who knows somebody who's involved in this, and they're being threatened with contempt of court.
Really?
Because they haven't done this yet, and they're going to threaten the tenants. The person already has tenants, and they're going to threaten the tenants with eviction.
Threaten the tenants, not the property owner.
Yeah.
The tenants.
The tenants with eviction because the property owner hasn't paid $500 and gone to a class yet.
Wow.
Can you imagine, folks? Oh,
Let's make
things over.
Worse.
The American dream, the American experiment of freedom is absolutely over, folks. And of course, it can be always be restored if somebody wants to do something about it. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not optimistic, at least in the short run. In the long run, maybe we'll turn this thing around. And one way you can express your displeasure, folks, especially folks from Cartersville, I suggest that you have some words with your city council, number one. But also, just to join us in mass and protest, come out April 15th, 12 o'clock noon, to the Daly Center for a tea party. We're going to have the Chicago Tea Party, and we're going to be demonstrating against this so-called stimulus package and the bailouts and the IRS income tax and the Federal Reserve System, which really is the organization that has enabled all this excess spending to go on. Some of us would like to end the Fed. Come out April 15th. Take that day off, folks. April 15th, 12 o'clock noon, downtown at the Daly Center. And Cartersville, my God. Everybody should be calling the city council people over and over and over again and stopping this outrage. Stopping this outrage, folks. This is the kind of stuff that would happen in Soviet Russia, not the United States of America. It's just so, so completely outrageous. And speaking of we're gonna go local today. We're gonna have a guest, Robert Lee. Robert Lee is running for the District 300 School Board. District 300 encompasses Dundee, Sleepy Hollow, Cartersville, Algonquin, Gilberts, Hampshire. It's a huge district. And in the past, it's been run very poorly, always asking for more money. I think maybe the superintendent that's there now is doing a better job than the previous one. But we'll ask Robert Lee about that. And we will do that right after we pause for a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Cartersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Tired of the status quo? Do you feel out of touch with the people who claim to be serving you in office? Well, so are we, and we plan on doing something about it. We are the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, a nonpartisan group of citizens who believe we the people still mean something. When we, the people, get informed, active, and involved, we begin the restoration of accountability in government to the people under constitutional principles and true liberty to the individual. If you want to do something to change the status quo, then join us at our monthly meeting in Empty Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jared at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. Oh, one note before we get to our guest, the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, which is now Ron Paul's Campaign for Liberty, the Fox Valley Campaign for Liberty, and we are going to change that ad very shortly, meets the second Saturday of the month in Algonquin at the Main Street Cafe, 5 p.m. Main Street Cafe is just south of Algonquin Avenue on Route 31, okay? Second Saturday, 5 p.m. at the Main Street Cafe, Algonquin, on Route 31, just south of Algonquin Road. All right, now I'd like to welcome to the program Robert Lee, who is running for school board of District 300. Robert Lee, welcome.
Well, thank you, guys.
Why are you running for school board?
Well, as I've been telling voters and community members over the last couple of months, you know, good schools are inseparable from good communities and vice versa. So before I have a family using public school district resources, I feel like I'm doing my part to make the schools as good as they can be. And then, you know, I feel like I can say I did my part rather than split time between a family and improving the schools or find something that I'm frustrated with. So.
Are there any things that the board is doing right now that you're frustrated? I mean, it would seem to me that there must be some more motivation. I mean, I hate to be cynical.
More motivation than
to be a good citizen. I mean, if I have limited time in my life, and if I see a board that I'm paying taxes to through my property taxes is run well, I'm going to focus my time on something else that's not running well.
Well, the other thing I always like to say is that simply resting on the successes of the past is not something that I feel comfortable doing as well. Some of the things that I proposed as a candidate for the school board actually build upon improvements that the school district has made in the most recent few years. Namely, I proposed we have financial impact statements with all new expenditures. And basically what this would do is the district would be very upfront and honest about the five-year cost of any new expenditure. And if something looks ridiculously inflationary and shoots us through the roof in terms of what we're spending our money on, well, it becomes pretty obvious that a bad choice is about to be made or a good choice is about to be made. As well, and I'd like to introduce some quality objectives to the programs we evaluate so that we use data and objective evidence to determine which programs money goes into.
How about...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I mean, the focus here is improving the way we do business because there are clear impacts on the quality of education that students receive. If we wildly spend our resources, and we have a $207 million budget for this year in District 300, but if we wildly spend resources, what happens is exactly what happened a few years ago with the referendum. Threats of budget cuts, threats of program cuts are made, and then it's used to raise taxes on people. And I don't think that's really necessary. I think we can provide a good education by just spending and planning wiser.
Well, in the past, District 300's has been insatiable in its appetite for higher spending, it seems to me. And yes, some good business practices need to be done there. Under our Superintendent Art, I think, from what I've seen, it's been run a little better than the past. But and I know in the past there were times where there were some contracts given out with non-competitive bidding. Is that a problem? With is that something you would support, that there's always competitive bidding on any contracts go,
well,
go out?
Absolutely. And in fact, I sit on the Policy and Legislation Committee now, and I've worked with John Ryan, who's a board member who was elected 2 years ago, to reintroduce an ethics policy that, or a conflict of interest policy that would actually prohibit the district from rewarding contracts to vendors and contractors that have contributed money to board candidates, mm-hmm. board candidates and referendum campaigns. And the fact that we don't have this in District 300 really, really bothers me. That's something I think we need to start off with first. And as well, I would want things bidded out in just about every instance, just so we get at least an opportunity for the lowest cost bidder. I mean, state law provides that certain services don't have to be bid out. Architectural services are one of them. And, in fact, the architect that designed the new schools for the district, because of the referendum, was awarded a no-bid contract worth millions of dollars.
But he built those pretty atriums in front of all the schools.
Well, you know, it's you might need a bid to build a pretty atrium. I don't think it would prevent that from happening.
I suppose not. Okay, you sound like that you're in favor of some fiscal conservatism relating to the board expenses. Is there any would you say that you would never support a tax increase?
I would say it'd be pretty safe to say. And in fact, I would say it would be about 99%. And until we have some better practices in place, I would never feel comfortable supporting a tax increase. But mm-hmm. if it comes to the point where we have strong business practices, and this is years in the future before I think it ever gets to this point, but stronger business practices, objective evidence used in determining programs, you know, these practices will demonstrate to the community that a tax increase is necessary. So they would actually come to us and say, you know what, we as a community determine this is a good idea, rather than the board by a 7-0 vote or a 6-1 vote or a majority vote saying, all right, we're going to push a tax referendum on you. You know, it'd start from the bottom up, and I just don't see that being the case right now.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Let's push the envelope a little more. Okay. If you're in favor of fiscal responsibility, it seems to me that one would want to instill a little bit of competition in the monopoly school system.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to do that would be to, instead of just handing out all that money to the public schools in your school district, to allow parents to take their proportional share of that through a voucher program and spend it at the school they feel deems best for them, whether it's private or home school mm-hmm. or government school. Would you be in favor of that?
Well, again, you know, it's fun to ask that because we have a fantastic opportunity right here in District 300 with the charter school in Cambridge Lakes. You know, again, the unfortunate thing about Illinois state law is that there seems to be some very strong special interest in control of those opportunities, and we haven't been able to expand them. But I do support District 300's efforts to support the charter school in Pingree Grove, and I would certainly entertain ideas on how to expand that in regards to District 300 and whether or not that means a charter school on the east side or whether or not that means a district-wide voucher program, which I don't think is in all honesty possible in the current climate. But I certainly would support a stronger support of the Cambridge Lakes Charter School.
All right, we're talking with Robert Lee. He is a candidate for School Board District 300. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, perspectives, give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders.
good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello, friends. Kenneth John here. Lori Jenner, a trusted friend of mine, is a well-respected realtor in the area. Lori shares our political views. She has many years of experience with a great grip on the current real estate market and the effects of the economy. Lori always works extremely hard to help buyers determine their needs, affordability, wants, and desires. She treats every client with great care, listens, and delivers when it comes to your real estate needs. Lori will donate one half of her earnings from anyone referred by a listener buying a home in the next 3 months to help keep Freedom Rings on the air. I'll repeat that. Lori will donate one half her earnings from anyone referred by a listener buying a home in the next 3 months to keep Freedom Rings on the air. So help yourself, help Lori, and help Freedom Rings, and we're all with it. It's a win-win-win situation. Give her a call at Keller Williams Success Realty, and that's at yourhometeamadvantage.com. Yourhometeamadvantage.com. Phone number is 847-287-1432. Repeating, 847-287-1432.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
Watch the police and the tax man miss me.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Robert Lee, who is a candidate for District 300 School Board. And what do you say we go to the phones, Robert?
Sounds good to me.
All right. First, we have Mark. Hey, Mark.
How are you guys doing today?
Great.
I love the name, and it was one of my favorite generals. But the I just wanted to ask a question about, now, they built that monstrosity of a high school in Hampshire. So I'm from the Hampshire area. And they built it on that they were going to get a lot of tax revenue from the new homes. Now, that we can all wish for $1 million, too, to win the lotto also, because I don't think that's going to happen. And then you're going to bus kids in, I believe, if you can tell me if I'm wrong, from Carpentersville more towards that high school? Is that true?
The school boundary for Hampshire High School, I believe, goes to the far western part of Carpentersville. Covers Hampshire, obviously, covers Gilbert's, and I mean, I don't have the map in front of me, but
I heard they're going to tamp. This is what I'm hearing around. They're going to bus in the kids from way. They do that over in 301. They bus kids away from Elgin all the way. But my question is, you've got the homes that you're going to lose the tax base from, because people are just going to lose their homes. It's just as simple as that. And then you've got the people coming in from some of the homes where they've got maybe 10 kids coming from one house that they're paying one tax. I don't think all the money in the world you can try to get from the government, which is us, to tax people. You're only taxing a certain amount of people you're getting money from to cover for all the people that are paying their fair share. How do you handle something like that? And I'll let you answer the question, and I'll hang up. Thanks.
Okay. Well, again, it comes down to a better practices on the way we spend our money. There seems to be a belief that the school district is entitled to your tax dollars. And I think there's a certain obligation that each of us has as community members to support good public schools. But on the same token, I think the school board and the school district has a fundamental obligation to spend that money wisely, which is why I propose my financial impact statements, my quality objectives, because these are objective ways to ensure that we're spending our money wisely. And I just don't think those practices are taking place as well as they could. I certainly think that more can be done. There's tons of public services out there that are beginning to follow these same sort of models in healthcare, transportation, that are beginning to evaluate ways to do more with less money. I don't think we need to increase taxes to support this. I mean, we have a $207 million budget in the district for 19,500 kids. I think there's more than enough money to do what we're able to do in District 300 without increasing taxes or coming up with drastic solutions to bus students all over the place. So.
Well, Robert, Mark, I think, makes an excellent point, pointing out that property values are collapsing as mm-hmm. we speak, and it could get worse. Now, my understanding is property taxes are based on a three-year lag or a three-year average, past 3 years, something like that. And so the impact on property taxes, it's so complicated, I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems to me that the revenues – the prospective revenues for the next year or two may go way down.
Well, if that's the case, then we need to learn how to live within those means. I mean, it comes down to something as simple as that. And again, I don't believe that's something that's impossible to do if we're willing to bite the bullet and evaluate our programs honestly, evaluate our expenditures honestly. Again, if it's $207 million this year in terms of what we spend and what we bring in, and next year it's $200 million, again, I think we can live within that with better practices. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's such a detrimental thing for us to consider that. But the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that because we're a tax cap property county, you know, this negative economy hasn't affected us in terms of the school district as bad because we haven't jacked property taxes through the roof. And there is still some wiggle room within that property tax cap, so I think the property taxes will adjust within what's already set to accommodate.
By adjust, you mean they're going to automatically go up?
They will probably go up in terms of the tax rate.
That to me is totally unacceptable, especially in a recessionary or depressionary time where people are having such a hard time making ends meet. And I would hope that you would resist any of that happening with some of your proposals you make. I have another one. The assistant principals. Assistant superintendents are making a lot of money, and there's a lot of them, not only in your district, throughout the state. And it seems to me the reason there's so many assistant superintendents is because they have to deal with all the paperwork with the various government levels, especially the federal government. What I would suggest to you is maybe you could get rid of a lot of those assistant superintendents and not take the federal money, that it actually might be cost effective. That's something I would like to see being studied. Have you ever looked at that?
You know, I haven't looked at that, but now that you mention it, I certainly will. I certainly will. I know that I think, again, without my budget book in front of me, I think it's about 10% of the budget comes from federal government. But again, you know, without having the numbers in front of me, I can't specifically focus on that or specifically focus on that dollar amount. But again, it's something I'm willing to invest in exploring any idea somebody has to offer. I mean, I come from a background of being a debater in college and coming from a family that is so diverse in terms of their opinions that if you ever just said screw any idea, it just wouldn't make sense to me. So, you know, I'll look at that, see what kind of numbers that would suggest.
Okay, let's move on. We have Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
All right.
You know, I was just going to say, put a freeze on everything for the next 2-3 years because of what's going on with the economy. I can't understand why school districts in this country still plan on building things, still plan on adding rooms. You know, I know where I'm at. They're talking about building a pool now. And I, part of the problem is with this country, it seems like we have a bubble that burst. We grew, we added more people up to that point. Now nobody for some reason wants to go back 10 years and maybe go down, maybe you have to cut some people, maybe you have to lay some people up, do more with less. Did you consider that? Did you ever consider maybe contracting some of the, for instance, the facility stuff that needs to be done, facility maintenance out? I mean, the overhead's got to be extremely expensive. I know I used to work for a municipality years ago, and the first thing we had to do when we got in rough times is started laying people off and say, okay, we'll contract now doing facility maintenance from somebody else. Ended up being more cheaper because, number one, is you're not paying for overhead staff. You're not paying your wages plus their compensation, their benefit package. And secondly, all the mechanical devices you needed, it's up to the contractor to take care of them instead of you. Did you ever consider that? I'll get off and listen. Thank you.
Well, again, I mean, outside of the proposals I made, I didn't consider more layoffs. I know that laying off 46 teachers a couple weeks ago, the district addressed that topic specifically to make those budget cuts. I mean, again, for me, it comes down to better ways of evaluating the money we spend or what we spend our money on. You know, there seems to be a belief that, well, we need this program for Billy, Johnny, and Susan, and we need this program for Jimmy, Jackie, and Robbie, without ever evaluating whether or not that program actually works. So we've invested all of this time, all of this money, all of these educators, all of these resources into programs that we're not even sure work. I mean, a few years ago, the district spent $750,000 to start on district heads or department heads for the high schools and the middle schools. And, I mean, I specifically asked the question in the Community Finance Committee, do we have any data that this actually helps students learn better in the classroom? I got 4 different answers before finally somebody told me we never bothered to ask for that data. I mean,
they don't have to because they're not accountable because it's government.
Exactly.
It's
and that's the kind of thing I want to change. I believe.
But how do you do? I mean, I love your. I mean, it's laudable what you try to achieve, but it almost seems to me you're going to knock your head against your wall when you're in a system that is just not based on discipline and profit. Profit motive and personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. But if there's a problem, then we just go to the taxpayers to solve the problem, which creates a bigger problem. It seems to be a never-ending thing. It seems to me we need more something fundamental to change the whole paradigm of public education.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that regard, I think that's why I'm running is on principle. You know, I believe I represent some of that fundamental change that says we don't need to ask for more money to provide a good education, that we should believe that we can do more with less money. How that takes change in terms of practice is it begins with electing board members that are willing to vote for those changes. I think with Monica Clark and John Ryan on the board now, you know, that we three would generally, I can't speak for them, but I think we would have a strong enough working relationship to question a lot of those expenditures.
How many are in the board total?
There are 7 total.
7 total, so you'd almost have a majority if with your 2 colleagues that you referred to and yourself, you'd have 3 out of 7.
And again, I can't speak for them, but I would have a feeling that they would be amenable to working with me on things like this. And that means we have to find one board member that we can persuade, and I think we can do it. And I think the other thing to keep in mind too is that, you know, it doesn't necessarily take slaying the dragon on one chance, but if we work as a team, if we begin to keep focus on doing things better, that we gradually start to build some momentum and that people start joining in on this as well. And so every election cycle, we have more and more candidates for the board that are willing to adopt these same sort of principles. And, I mean, also keep in mind that we're going to be hiring a new superintendent here in a couple of years. And if I'm elected to the board, that's one of the things I'm going to ask them. What's your commitment to continuous improvement? What's your commitment to objective evidence in the classrooms? What does that mean to you? I mean, I will not support a superintendent, hiring a superintendent that believes in, or believes in, well, this is the way things have always been done, so let's continue to do it that way. I want to see somebody with some dedication to maybe shaking things up a little bit.
What's your assessment of Superintendent Arendt? Is he in the former category, or do you have hope that you could persuade him to some of these fiscal discipline type changes?
Well, I would have hope that I could persuade him. If not, again, he has an irrevocable retirement notice for 2011. So, you know, if push comes to shove, if he is opposed to these sort of ideas, then again, I have board members to work with, and we can figure out a way to get this done. And if he's not opposed to these changes, then great. Look forward to working with him.
He has to retire in 2011. How did that work out? Is that an age thing, or is that a contractual?
He notified the board last year that he would retire in 2011, and that his retirement was, you know, final, done with. It was voted on by the board. You know, unfortunately, I think, you know, they also voted on that time of adding an addendum to his contract that, you know, paid him even more money, which I wasn't in favor of. You know, and there was only, there were two board members absent from the meeting that night, and one board member voted against it. I wouldn't have voted for something like that, but either way, again, if he wants to work and figure out a way to implement these sort of programs or implement these sort of policies in terms of how we spend our resources and focus on education in the classroom, great. If not, we'll have to figure out a way to still work as a team. So, but that's not going to discourage me from working to improve the way we do things, because I think those improvements need to come.
Robert, my producer Mike has a question for you.
Okay,
hey, go ahead. Robert, this is Mike. I'm a producer here for Freedom Rings. I have just a couple of quick questions for you in regards to, you're running for the District 300 School Board, and I know you get a lot of people and a lot of commercials and political candidates tell you to do everything for the children. It's all about the children. I think when you're running for a school board of a district, it really is about the children and the students of the school. Budget concerns aside, you spent a good half hour or so talking about the budget, the economy, and money concerns. Budget aside, can you tell me about some of the programs, if elected to be on the District 300 School Board, can you tell me some of the programs that you have in your mind to help the students improve the education values throughout the entire District 300?
Yeah. Well, two things to keep in mind. One, and not to rehash this, but again, the way we spend our money has a direct effect on the education students receive, because it impacts the teachers they have and the programs they use. I've said that, and I've harped on that, so I'll move on. You know, I recently made a proposal to institute what's called the Certified Diploma Program in the district. And what this will do is it'll be a higher-tier diploma from District 300, which rewards students who perform academically well in the classroom. But not only that, demonstrate leadership in the community by committing to 10 hours of community service every academic year they attend a high school, reaching out to mentors, whether they be teachers, professionals, community members, who would recommend them for a diploma like this, and as well, a personal reflection statement of some sort at the end of their educational career in District 300 that says, I learned this in my school, and this is how it's going to prepare me for the future outside of District 300 schools. And why I think this is an important thing is because it ties the community to the education we receive, which statistically is increasingly... It's increasingly been shown statistically that you cannot separate a student's classroom from a student's environment outside of the classroom. So this certified diploma program will help our older students to learn that link between the life they live outside of school to the life they live inside of school, and as well positively impact younger students that inevitably they're going to interact with. And over time, I think this is going to build up into an ethic of school and community responsibility, which in turn helps students academically, it helps the communities they live in, And more importantly, it's not going to take a lot of resources because it's focused on the students' responsibility to get this program moving in terms of their community service, their letters of recommendation. So specifically, that's what I suggested.
Okay, and what is your opinion about overcrowding in the classrooms? Would you be able to provide more teachers for classrooms that were struggling because there's only one teacher for every 30 students? And do you have any programs slated or in your mind if you would become District 300 school board member? How would you address certain situations that directly affect the students?
Well, I think it comes down, that's one of those instances where the way we spend our resources has a direct effect on the classroom. I mean, we cut 46, or the district cut 46 teachers. I mean, 14 admittedly for performance-related issues, but that means 32 teachers were cut from classrooms mm-hmm. because of budgetary concerns coming up in the next fiscal year. I mean, that right there means something's wrong with the way we're spending our money. I mean, if we're worried about overcrowding, then we need to figure out a way to not impact the teachers that have relationships with students. I mean, again, we spent $750,000 on department heads in middle schools and high schools with no statistical demonstration of how they help students in the classroom. If they were to help students in the classroom, more power to them. But again, we don't have these tools in place. We have an EPR committee, which is a way of evaluating programs that is based largely on the opinions of individuals in the school district. All well and dandy, but no statistics, no data. And it comes down to something that simple. Using objective evidence to determine where money should go will help us to eliminate waste, which will help us to properly direct resources to the classroom to prevent things like overcrowding and lack of textbooks and lack of effective programs for students.
All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear in your mind that me as a taxpayer, and I also have a daughter who's in the school system, not District mm-hmm. 300, but I'm always concerned about my child's education. When it comes to child's education, I don't think a budget should be a bigger concern than the child's education. I'm willing to spend more money on taxes to get better school systems out there, and I think I speak for a lot of taxpayers out there, with children especially. It's also, I have an opinion that if you don't have children, you shouldn't be taxed for schools, but that's a horse of a different color. I just want to make sure that with all these budget constraints, I want to make sure that a school district was never, ever going to leave any children behind because of money problems.
Absolutely not. And I think that's how the system is set up now, honestly. Right. I mean, I think it's set up to, you know, I mean, you just mentioned it. I'm willing to pay more money for taxes. I'm willing to put more money into the system. Well, we've been putting hundreds of millions of dollars into the system without a corresponding and correlative benefit to education in the classroom. I mean, $207 million to educate 19,500 students in District 300 is a lot of money. We should be doing better. I think we will do better if I can get onto the board and work as a team with other board members and district staff and community members like yourself who want to see better things in the classroom. But that comes down to better use of resources because it has a direct impact.
Well, yeah, I'd like to bring in my own two cents on this because of the studies I've seen, and I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name. Is it Hopsicker? I'm not sure. But there's been studies done on the relation between spending and student achievement, and my understanding is that there has been no specific study found that finds a positive correlation between spending and student achievement. It seems to me that there are a lot of other factors that are a lot more important than the spending of money.
Exactly. Well, it's exactly my belief. I mean, we don't have to continually pump money into the system to improve it. You know, you have to continually pump money into the system to serve, you know, I mean, I hate to use the term, but special interests that have their own opinion about the education system. Again, I think it just simply comes down to better use of resources. It means we can get twice the educational value at half the dollar. It's working in other areas. I mean, healthcare is using these same sort of principles to improve the way they provide healthcare to patients in emergency rooms and hospice clinics and community clinics. And they're focusing on providing better care for less money. And it's working all over the place.
All right, we're talking with Robert Lee. He's a candidate for School Board District 300. We'll get
back to your phone calls after a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Robert Lee, candidate for School Board District 300. And let's go right back to the phones and say hello to Therese. Hi, Therese.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Lee, is this the first time you're running or are you an incumbent?
I'm sorry?
Is this the first time you are running or are you an incumbent?
Oh, this is the first time I'm running, so.
All right, I would like you to do a lot of investigation because, for example, I'm an oldie, and I've seen more money dumped into education, and our children are not coming out educated. In fact, they're being dumbed down and brainwashed. But, however, I would like you to do investigation and find out why somebody can work for a school district, and I believe this is statewide, and for only 5 years and receive a pension. And here in U46, we had a superintendent that took us for a $1 million package, and this thing stinks. And I think the more money they get, they're not helping the students at all. And a few years ago, they had a retirement package, well, I say more than 10 years ago, and they got rid of all the good teachers. They gave them a retirement package. They couldn't resist just to get them out of the district. So we should definitely go back to basics, the phonics. I know one teacher that is teaching phonics, and he's not supposed to do it, but he knows that's the right way to teach. I know another teacher that's very angry because he was told he cannot fail anybody. So things like this are going on. And if you do get on the board, do investigating because The schools, the educational system does not need another penny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, again, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I mean, again, and I'm sorry, I'll shut up.
Oh, no, no. I mean, I was just going to say it again comes down to we need to get out of this mindset of more money, more money, more money. I mean, we need to get into the mindset of more quality, more quality, more quality, so that we have a higher quality education in District 300. And I think because we're one of the larger school districts in the state, it'll begin to spill over to surrounding school districts and hopefully, you know, statewide.
Go ahead, Teresa.
But when you get in as a school board member, take a look at the books and see what they're really supposed to be teaching, what they're, you know, the brainwashing that's going on. I am so angry about this whole system. And then also there are over a million students which are being homeschooled, and it's not taking the thousands and thousands of dollars, and these students are top quality. So I'll get off the line, mm-hmm. and I'll let you talk. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Therese.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Robert, I noticed your website talks about developing personal responsibility, and you touched a little bit on that. But from that, I'm going to assume that you don't think that self-esteem is given but is earned.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you hear these stories, you hear these horror stories, you know, that, well, darling, if 2 plus 2, if you want to think it equals 5 for now, it does. Because, you know, we don't want to hurt her self-esteem.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, my parents split when I was 9 and my dad remarried when I was 13. And the one thing that my dad and my stepmother always said was, you know, you got to do this stuff. I mean, we're not going to do it for you. You know, you've got to focus on your school, and you've got to put in all the effort. And when you do a great job, we'll be there to say great job. But when you mess up on something, we'll help you learn what you messed up on, and we'll help you move forward. And it comes down to exactly that: you earn the respect that comes with the responsibility you take. And you know, it's something I think students should have reflected them in the curriculum and the programs we offer.
So you would agree then if students don't make the grade and actually achieve failing grades that they should be held back?
I think it should be strongly considered, yes.
Strongly considered.
I'm not a fan of social promotion. I'm not a fan of promoting a student because it will make them feel better. Because when they're 18, 19 years old and they're out there in the workforce and they don't have those lessons, well, they're not going to feel too good about themselves at that point, and then they're having to teach themselves, you know, everything they should have learned 5-6 years prior. So no, I'm not. If a student can't make the grade, they should be. They certainly should take the responsibility for that.
Okay. If people are interested in your campaign, how can they help?
Well, I would say, you know, 2 weeks left to go before Election Day. Come out. We're always walking. We're always phone calling. You know, it comes down to something as simple as putting up a yard sign. But
do you have a phone number or a website you'd like to give out?
Yeah, definitely. The phone number is 847-844-0397. The website is, this is pretty long, so www.robertwadelee.com.
Okay. Very good, Robert Lee. Thank you very much for being on the program today, and good luck to you in the election, coming election.
Thank you, guys. Thank you much.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
All right, the quotation of the week. This is from Gary M. Gellis. Unlike any other social organization, markets restrict individuals to satisfying their desires by benefiting others rather than by harming them, that is, by creating added wealth for others. In markets, people prosper by increasing the value produced for others by more than they receive in return. Because the more that people benefit others, the greater their income. Markets turn self-interest toward serving others.